Hello, everyone. This is Mark Davis, and I want to welcome you to the Gospel Explorations podcast, where we gather together each week to take time to explore God's Word to learn how we ought to live in this present age. I'm glad you've chosen to spend some time with us today. Let's jump into today's episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Gospel Explorations podcast. Hope you are doing well and ready to jump back in right where we are at in Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to be today looking at verses 7 and 8. We've been working through the Beatitudes there found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 5, where we find the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8. So if you have your Bible, grab it. Let's open up to Matthew chapter 5, 7 and 8. Maybe hop on your phone to your favorite Bible app, and let's read it together, starting there in verse number 7. We read this in Matthew 5, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So two things we see here, two different ideas in these two separate Beatitudes that we're going to look at. The first is this idea of mercy. And this beatitude addresses specifically those who will show mercy as being those who have already received mercy. And the idea here, it is a mercy that is a result of being emptied of your pride and brought to that poverty of spirit, which we already looked at previously in some of the other beatitudes that we've looked at. And it's a person who has experienced God's mercy who then can be merciful towards other people. And, you know, it's this ability to be made hungry and to thirst after righteousness brings us to a place of being filled with God's mercy. And so the understanding that's kind of flowing here throughout this passage as we look at this Beatitudes and the kind of the pattern or the method in which they're laid out is the idea is that a merciful individual is one who shows mercy to those who are weaker, those who are poor. The merciful individual is the one who looks for opportunities to help those who are weeping and those who mourn. The merciful individual is one who's quick to forgive others, looking for ways to bring restoration to broken relationships. A merciful person is the person who chooses what's best for other people instead of themselves. And they're considering these things not with expectations to receive something from others, but really with the idea of ministering to others. And then he says that this person that shows mercy, the blessed are the merciful, Jesus then says these words, for they shall obtain mercy. And so the picture here is if you want mercy from others, especially God, then you should take care to be merciful to others. And I think we see this illustrated for us in the scriptures. We know, like, even when we think about the mercy that was shown to King David, even in all of the terrible sins that he committed, many people have reasoned that one of the reasons that God gave mercy to David was because David showed mercy towards King Saul on several occasions when Saul was unkind to him, when he was unworthy of being treated the way that that David did treat him, when Saul had done things that would have, I'm not saying it would have justified those behaviors, but David had opportunities, if you will, to act in a way, in a particular way, but he chose not to. Instead, he chose to practice mercy. And the picture here is that God shows mercy to those who have been merciful. And the understanding here is that a person that has been mercy has been expressed to for a Christian through the finished work of Christ. When we understand that mercy is in working out in our lives, when it is being made evident in our lives through the work of Christ, we then have a desire to then show that mercy to other people. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And then in verse number 8, we read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In the ancient Greek phrasing here, there's kind of two ideas that can be pulled apart from this phrase, "Blessed are the pure in heart." The idea of being pure in heart carries with it the idea of being an idea of straightness, an idea of honesty, an idea of clarity. And the two ideas is that, one, there could be this inner morality of purity comes from a heart that's pure. But I really believe that the point of the scriptures, the point of this passage, is that it's a single undivided heart. It's not that it's a heart that's become morally pure, because we understand the scriptures teach that ultimately our hearts are deceitfully wicked. No one can know it. And so it's not this issue of having arrived in some place in moral purity. I believe that the idea that's being presented here, blessed are the pure in heart, is the idea that it's an undivided heart. It's a heart that is utterly sincere and not divided in its devotion and commitment to God. It's a heart that's committed completely to Christ. And so the picture here is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And ultimately, what Christ is saying here is that the reward, the evidence of a heart that's not divided, a heart that trusts God fully, will be that one day they will enjoy the greatest level of intimacy with God, greater than they could ever imagine. For they shall see him. The idea is they shall dwell with him. They shall live with him. Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for our sins. He left the Father in heaven to come to earth. Of course, when Christ ascended back to heaven, then the Holy Spirit was given to the believers here on earth. And so we see all three persons of the Godhead involved here. But ultimately, the idea is that we would go and be reunited with him for all of eternity. And it comes from an individual who has realized, if you go back to the beginning of the Beatitudes, that there's this poverty in spirit, that we're undone. We cannot, we're so beyond the point of helping ourselves, we're spiritually bankrupt. And all of that brings us to a place then where we experience the mercy of God in our life. And so we show mercy to others, and it results in what God, Jesus Christ here in this passage, is calling the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. The idea is, blessed are those who have a heart that's undivided in devotion and commitment to God, who has said no to the other things that this world might offer, that this life might offer, and instead is committed to what God has said, because ultimately the goal in that commitment, the reward in that commitment, is a relationship with Jesus Christ that results in eternal bliss with him for all of eternity, for they shall see God. And so the picture here is that a person of pure heart is free from the pollution of this world because they've made a commitment to Christ. We're not talking about perfection. None of us are sinless and perfect. The idea is that we're growing in this process of sanctification to become more like Christ. And as we become more like him, God develops in us a heart of purity, a heart of devotion towards him, not divided, not disloyal, if you will. And so ultimately, this relationship then with God becomes the greatest motivation for our purity. The thing that motivates us to have a right relationship with God is the fact that we have this devotion, this commitment, this unwavering decision that we've made to enjoy life with God. That's the reward of having chosen to follow after Christ, to not have a heart that's divided, but to follow after him. And the result of that then becomes the motivation to maintain a pure heart, because it is that goal that then brings us to the place of seeing God. And it's important we realize that we're not talking about accomplishing things in our own strength. We're talking about the work of Christ in us. We're talking about the power of the Spirit of God at work in us to make us what Christ would have us to be. And these beatitudes that Christ is sharing with us are realities that are fleshed out in the life of a believer as they trust in him in their spiritual journey. And of course, it starts with that place, like we said, of being spiritually bankrupt, and then coming to a place where we truly mourn over our sin, where we realize that there should be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in our lives, where the mercy that God has shown to us is then exhibited in our life as we give mercy to others. And ultimately, up to this point in the Beatitudes, we've come to a place where we realize that this heart desire, that wants to please God, that's undivided in its devotion, is that one of a person who says, you know, the most important thing to me is to please God in all that I do with a purity of heart. We'll meet you back here next time as we look at Matthew chapter 5. Thanks for listening. I hope that you've been both encouraged and challenged today. If you want to connect with us further, please be sure to check us out on the web at gospelexplorations.com. We look forward to having you join us again next time.